Hello there, you're listening to another interesting edition of Sports Africana, your number one African podcast show, where we bring you everything that's got to do with Africa. We like to tell our stories, we like to discuss our issues, and above all, we like to celebrate our successes. My name is Oba Adeola Mukumo. Remember, as I've always stated, you can always listen to our podcast on the major podcast directories such as Spotify, Apple, Ditches, Stitches, and many more. And you can listen to our previous wonderful episodes we have for you. Today promises to be exciting. I'm going to be interviewing someone that is well known in the world of football. He's established himself as a successful player, a former Super Eagles player to be precise, and he came to the limelight in 1991, where he featured for Nigeria at the All-African Games in 1990, the football event to be precise. And from then onwards, he went on to have a very, very wonderful career. It brings me great pleasure today to introduce to you former African Footballer of the Year 1994, Emmanuel Amuneke. Well, first of all, I need you to correct me. I've always had this, is it Emmanuel Amuneke or Emmanuel Amuneke?
It's Amuneke.
Right, I've always thought so. So, right. It's pleased to have you on Sports Africana, and how are you doing there in Spain? It's very cold here in England. I don't know how it's like in Spain where you are. It's probably warmer.
Yeah, today we have a very great weather. Thank you very much. I'm doing good. I'm grateful to God. Despite all the situation with the pandemic, we are alive, we are healthy, so we can't complain. We just pray and hope that this pandemic, can just go over and people can go back to their normal life. We understand it's not going to be the same, but of course, we can go back to our normal activities. Times of those of us that are involved in football, of course, we have retired, we are coaches, but we make our time, to play with friends. But with the pandemic, it's not possible to do so. But we are grateful. We thank God for everything.
Wow, thank you very much for that warm wishes and statement of optimism and hope, which we all need at this point in time. Right, just dwelling straight away. I'd like to know, who is Emmanuel Amuneke? Where did you start from? I will tell you when I knew you. You were playing for Julius Berger at the time when I first knew you, before you came to the line, before you were invited for the under 23, if I remember. Great. So tell us about your background, where you started from, your education, how you started, how you started in football, how you discovered as a person, as a player.
Well, where will I start? Thank you very much. I think, as a person, I'm just a normal person. I'm a normal person in terms of that believe that everybody deserves to be given the same opportunity. I'm a normal person that believe that everybody goes through the same process of achieving his dream. And I could say I'm privileged to have played the game. I knew many of my colleagues that we started the game, one thing or the other, some were not able to fulfill their dream. Some are even much better than me as a player. But, I was keen and I was objective in mind what I want to be. And at the end of the day, I'm here today contributing to the success of the game, not because what I have achieved, at least. As a player, I have been able to add my part, and we pray the world's coming. Well, we all know this ambition as a kid. In my family, although my father played the game, but not to the level where we've been recognized today. And then in our family, Amuneke family, we have a lot of players, people that have played. Then from there, I think the interest, it all started from the school. Although at the age of four, I moved to live with my grandmother, my grandfather in the village. And then everything is football, football. When you send me to, you know, to go and fetch water, we first of all go and play football, and then before doing it. So it was kind of this guy, attention is football. And you know, you knew then that footballers are not much considered, because every parent want their kid to go to school. Every parent want their kid to, you know, to be educated in times of you know, getting the best studies, but getting the best diploma that will position you to work in a better company or in a better place. But you know, I was so keen and so stubborn, and I was objective in my dream. I want to play the game. And that was how, at the age of 10, you know, I came back to Lagos to stay with my parents. And then from there, it's like a kind of door opening. So wherever there is tournament, wherever there is football, I always go without even being invited. I go there to play. And then gradually, I started, you know, creating the awareness. At the end of the day, my first youth team was Osjack. Then they based in Munshi, but we train at Ikeja Grammar School, and I was, you know, attending Kadoso High School in Apapa, Badia. So after the game, each time, you know, we have to, with some other players also from Ajegule, that goes to Sinclair and Araromi. So we just team up, we meet at Orile bus stop, then we pick a bus, and then we just go to Oshodi, and after playing, we come back. So this was how the ambition started growing. And then when we start seeing Nigeria the first time on television, playing the Nations Cup qualifier, Sofolu where may his soul rest in perfect peace, the likes of Stephen Keshi, people that have played, and you know, as a youth and a guy, young guy growing up, we know these ambitions. We want to play for Nigeria. Then I could remember one day from our school, we did a road walk with my colleagues because we were in the school team. Now they are playing the Prince Park Cup. We used to play the Prince Park Cup in our zone, which is Apapa Badagry, to enable you to qualify to represent your zone at the state level. But unfortunately, we are not able, we don't have that capacity, but we played in those tournaments, and those tournaments gave us more insight about the game, gave us more popularity in Ajegule before I finally, you know, signed for Niger Loss, which is a state team. During those days, then we used to have state team that afford young players to enroll and play in the state league, not what we have now. Then from there, I was able to be spotted by Julius Berger.
But let me take you back a bit back to when you signed for Niger Locks. How did you, because back in those days, those are the little opportunities that you get where someone gets to see you and they spot you to say, oh, I think this guy is good. Who spotted you? How did you get discovered to be able to play for Niger Locks? Because that's where it began.
Well, I have a friend, you know, I have a friend that went to Igbobi Secondary School. And Igbobi Secondary School, that's where Niger Locks trained then. So then he told me that this team, they are playing in, you know, they are doing screening. So after the school, I went by myself with my school uniform. When we get there, normally we used to have like soccer pants and inside and shirt in the bag. So we changed, and then we saw the screening. We went there, I was so small, and I went there. The first time they saw me, Coach Teller, late Coach Teller.
Yemitele.
He so rest in peace. Yeah, Yemitele. With Alhaji Moko. The first time they saw me, you know, I was so small, and they were kind of, where is this guy? This guy is small, you know? But there were a lot of people that came for the screening. So we all waited for our turn until then they say, hey, you, that small boy, come and play. Let's see you. Then when I went in, I was able to do my part. And at the end of the day, I was signed in the team. That was how I was signed in Niger Locks. Then for me, it was a step, you know, from youth football, then playing in the state league, gradually then we start to, you know, in the state league, we start to make a, you know, establish ourselves. We normally play our matches at Agege Stadium. We establish ourselves in the team. We qualify the team for the first time for the National Division 4 zonal qualifying. We represented Lagos State, and then we went to, I think we went to Makurdi. That was our zone then. We played in Makurdi with the teams like from Benue, Lagos, and then Benin. And we came top. I think in that tournament, I scored 2 goals, and I was able, you know, to establish myself. I was able to give a very good account of myself. But the good thing is that as a player, I never lost any ambition of afraid. I never lost the ambition of I'm not going to make it. I always believe I'm going there to do my best. I'm going there to work hard, and then let God decide what the next will be. But I'm grateful, you know. These people, they gave me the opportunity as a young guy growing up to be able to develop in the game. And I always remain grateful to them.
Right. And of course, you moved to Julius Berger. I think it was still Coach Joe Erico that was in charge at the time, if I'm right.
No, Erico left.
I left. Yeah.
It was Coach Ominu.
Ominu. Okay. Oh, Emmanuel, is it Okuno? Yeah. Mutio Okuno. Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Mutio Okuno. Yeah, Erico has left for 1 year national at the time. Yeah. So you moved to Julius Berger, and how did it feel like? Did you feel like, oh, because obviously you'd have known some of the players from afar, that, oh, I know this player. Like, how did it feel like getting into Julius Berger? Because at that time, you were playing at the top level.
Well, my journey to Julius Berger was a kind of, I think it was kind of strange also. How will I say it? I was in Niger loss, and towards the ending of the, I think towards the ending of 90 to 91, I decided to move on from Zamalek. Then I went to Concord. Concord, they were doing screening to play a tournament at Agege. So I went there to Concord, and I remember when we get to Concord, also the same thing, it was a lot of crowd, you know. I went with my friend, but we just, you know, the coach asked us questions, where are we coming from? Then I said to him, we are from Niger Lords, but already he knew Niger Lords that were fans, you know, they are like stationary stores fans. Yeah. So he said, I don't want a problem, but you guys should wait. So I think the training was about 5 minutes to the end of the game. Then he just called me. So everybody, you know, so many crowd, people were raising their hand. And I raised my hand. He said, yeah, you, that small boy, come. Let's see you. So he gave me the opportunity. And I was able, under 5 minutes, I scored 2 goals. So since then, they said they will sign me in their team. Then, although I played the tournament for them at Agege, unfortunately, we lost to Niger Dock then. But they took me to the office to see then Abiola's son. He said, what's the problem? I just told him that I don't have money, but where I'm coming from is far. The guy just opened the wardrobe and brought out 400 Naira then. That was the first time I could see big money. Then I just thank him. I took the money, and then I divide the money I gave half to my colleagues in the team. But eventually, you know, I never played for Concord. Then Julius Berger, they were having this Grammar Cup. They normally play the Company's Cup at Ajegunle. So we went there for the screening also. That was how I signed for Julius Berger. I played for them in that tournament. And after the tournament, they used to have a sporting director there from Ghana. Then he was so insisting that I have to sign for Julius Berger. Then I told him, well, I'm having admission to the university. What will I do? How will I do it? They said, no, they want me to play for them. They will take care of the whole team. They will give me house in Ajegunle. Normally, they give the players accommodation. I said, okay, let me think about it. I will think about it. Then I thought about it later. I told them, okay, I will play for you people, but I will not take the house. I prefer to stay with my parents, to live with my parents, if they can be supportive in the money. So, but I remember when we went to sign, it happens, I think it was December, during period of December, a lot of players, they come, they don't, you know, they don't talk much already. They are big players and established. You see players coming from Iwanyawo, Bendel Insurance, different club, ACB. And we were there in the morning, I think 9 o'clock, and we left there almost after 5 in the evening. Just trying to negotiate. At the end of the day, then Idama, the chairman of the club, then he said, okay, we will sign you people, this is what it takes, and if you guys can improve yourself, your money will be increased in your salary and this. So I, Sylvester Ibiali, and Gabriel Okolos, three of us then, we were signed in the same manner. But the important thing is not just about the money at that particular time, it's the opportunity. And when we resume with them, we look very young, very smallish. Everybody were kind of looking at us, we had this guy. But when the training starts, that is when they start, people start to observe, no, these guys are not, they are something else. So this is how we ended up, playing for Julius Berger and being part of Julius Berger, winning the first professional league in 91 before I left to Egypt.
Before you go on to how you moved to Zamalek, I would like to backtrack a bit. You moved to, you were invited to the under 23 team. How did you get invited to the under 23 team, and how did you feel when you got the first invitation to a national setup, so to say?
Well, it was a great, I think it was a great moment and great joy being part of the national team group. Although I used to have a teammate that we played together in Niger Lost, Christopher Eden, that passed away. We played together in Niger Lost, and then before he moved to Calabar Rovers. Then I was in Julius Berger, but when he was there, we used to talk. But I never really expected that I would be part of the team. And it came, I think there was a game we played against the Super Eagles at the National Stadium. Before the qualifying match they have with Ghana national team.
Yeah.
We played that game, I think, if I'm not mistaken, on Tuesday. And after the game, Chukwu called me, Christian Chukwu, and he asked me my name, and then I told him. Then after 2 weeks, I just saw my name on the newspaper that I've been invited to join the under 23 team in Kaduna. So I think that was how it came about. Then I was excited, and then my club, they released me because they also needed me to be part of the team in the league. They released me, then I flew all the way to Kaduna. On getting there, I knew Christopher Eden. I knew Bobolai Faidon, because I have played against him when he was in stationary stores and I was in Julius Berger. So, and we all came from the same area, like Ajegunle. So it was much easier for me. But the good thing was that I was able to establish myself into the team, When I came, I was able to distinguish myself. I was able to not just be part of the team. I was able to let the team and the coaches know that I have something to offer in the team. I remembered our friendly games we play. Each friendly games, I used to score 3 goals. So that was how our coach then, James Peter, was able to build the confidence, was able to establish you know, establish me in that team. But I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for, you know, believing in me. I'm grateful for the confidence that, you know, they gave me. And I'm happy that I was able to, you know, to contribute my part to the team.
And talking about Cairo 91, that's the All African Games. For me, that was when everybody knew Emmanuel Amuneke. You shone excellently that in the games we played. Unfortunately, I think we narrowly lost to Cameroon, if I remember.
Yeah, we lost.
And I think
in the semi-final.
I think you got a red card in one of. Yes, I remember very well that you. So after the, tell us about that tournament itself. What it did for you, and how were you approached by Zamalek? You know, for obvious, because I think that's where you were really seen by the Egyptian top flight team.
Well, I think the tournament in question, you know, gave us the platform to represent our country, and you know, we did. I remember our first game was the host country, Egyptian. Which we won that game 2-1, and I scored the second goal. It gave us the platform to really show ourselves as a team. It gave us the platform to, you know, to represent Nigeria in a honesty and in a hard work and, you know, in a satisfying manner. What am I really saying is that you have these younger players actually in Nigeria. You know, the All African game is not like the World Cup. There is no much attention in the team in terms of awareness, and then suddenly people start seeing this kind of different players with different qualities, and you know, making an impact in the tournament. So I think it inspires the ones, the generation behind. It gave us the opportunity for people to see us. I think that gave me the opportunity for Zamalek to spotted on me and wanted me to be part of their team. And after the game, the tournament, when we lost, I think when we lost to Cameroon, that was when they approached me that they wanted to, you know, they want me to be part of their team. But unfortunately, you know, we lost in the game, and I was, you know, red carded, and it was a bigger, you know, disappointment for me. It was a disappointment for my team in terms of because everybody were kind of looking to me, you know, to add something to the team. And, I was not able to control my nerves. I was provoked, and then I fell into the trap, and I was, you know, sent off. But you learn from those kind of mistakes. And I think after that, one had, you know, been able to learn a lot, knowing that no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, you must be able to control your emotion. There will be people that will like to provoke you. It's part of the game. There will be people that will like to, you know, set traps for you, but it all depends on your capacity to ignore and to remain focused on what you are doing to achieve your objective. I think since then, I have learned a lot. Even as a coach, you also learn a lot in terms of controlling your emotion. You want to win. Sometimes the result is not coming your way. The important thing is you must be able to be calm, you must be able to, you know, continue to transmit confidence to your players that is achievable, and what you people have, you know, planned and set out is achievable as long as everybody remains calm. So I think that was how I was spotted to Zamalek. When they came to me, approached me, and I told them, you know, I'm on a contract, I have a team, I'm still on a contract with my team. But they were so interested in the journey, you know, they just, after we left Cairo, the next 2 days they were in Nigeria. And then they came to Julius Berger to discuss with Julius Berger. And eventually there was an agreement between both teams, and that was how I left Julius Berger, and then I moved to Cairo.
Right, and how was the experience like in Cairo? You know, moved to Zamalek. Zamalek at that time were not just one or if were the biggest clubs in Egypt at the time. They were very, very dominant on the African continent and as well too. Now moving to Zamalek, I'm sure that would have opened your eyes to another level of exposure in terms of club administration, club welfare. How did it feel like when you got to Zamalek, and how did you blend into the team itself?
Well, first, it was great having the opportunity to play that club called Zamalek. And I remember when I went there, I came in on Wednesday and then I played a game on Friday.
Wow.
That was, the game was 1 o'clock away game. So it shows the confidence the team, the coaches they have on me. They want me to be part of the team. And I was lucky to have met David Mackay, who was our coach, former Scottish player. He was our coach then with a lot of experience. And Farouk Gaffa, his assistant, an Egyptian also, that have played for the Egyptian national team. And he was also Zamalek ex-player. So I was able to meet them. But initially, it wasn't easy for me. Because bearing it in mind, you are changing from different culture to another culture. You are different from one country to another country. So I was in a hotel, and initially what I does was I train, I go back to hotel. Then till the next day for training, I have to come out again because I don't know anybody, and I just came into the city newly. So there was a time I went to the team manager and I told him I want to go, that I'm boring, you know, that I'm tired, and I want to go back to Nigeria. Then he pleaded, he said, no, I should be calm and this, that. I said, I'm tired. I just trained, hotel, the next day, the same process. Then I just asked myself, why am I actually here? Why did I, you know, I left Nigeria to be in Egypt, is to play the game. So then I told them, okay, if you can rent me an apartment, you know. So they rented me an apartment. There was these two Nigerian guys that I met. They were studying in Egypt also. So eventually I moved in with them. I stay with them, and then it became much easier for me. At least I have people I can interact with that speaks the same language, that we are from the same country. So I stayed with them, and then what I normally do was I always go to extra training. For example, after the game, I realized, okay, physically I was not all that, and of course it's very, very normal that you just came in and you play. You need to get used to your players. You need to, you know the philosophy of the team. You need to know the system of the team. So I normally go for morning training 2 hours every day. At least I run, I stretch, you know, to lift up my fitness level. And when I fit into the team, you know, I was able to bring in a lot of things into the team. I was able to impart a lot of things into the team. My teammates, they were able, you know, they believed in me. They have confidence in me. And that was how that team, you know. I remember before I came, I think that team, we have been almost 4 years without winning anything, the Zamalek in question. And then when I came, there was much expectations from the public, from the fans. But I'm grateful, you know, that I was able to, you know, to add something, and throughout my playing time in Zamalek, we were able to, you know, we won all you could think about. And then after that, after the World Cup, then I left to Portugal.
Right. Before we get, I mean, to that point, you were in Zamalek and you had played for the under-23 team. So how did you get invited to the Super Eagles? All of a sudden, because when you moved to Zamalek, we heard nothing about you. Obviously, you were doing exploits. Then, sometime in 1993, you just surfaced. on the national team scene. How did you get invited, or how did you hear about your invitation, and how did you receive it?
Well, me, I'm patient. I'm patient and I'm quiet in what I'm doing. Of course, after the All Africans game, you're not expecting to just break into the team, because we should also be honest. The Super Eagles, then, you know, they have great players. They have a lot of players that are playing also in Europe. Even the ones that are playing in Nigeria, they are top players. So, for me, first of all, being in Zamalek is part of, I think, I look at it as part of my education, you know, of improving development to the game. I remember, yeah, people were expecting me to be given opportunity to be invited. Sometimes you read the news, no, he's not exposed yet. But I was focused. The good thing was that in Egypt, I was making my mark, my team. You know, we were doing very well in all aspects, both on the continental and on the local scene. We were doing very well. So when the opportunity came, I could remember, I think that game was against Sudan, if I'm not mistaken. That was my first game in Nigeria, against Sudan. And when the opportunity came, and then I was invited, I came in, went to Ota to stay with the team, and then we prepared. I think Coach D. Sudan was our coach in that game. We prepared, and in the game, I was able to establish myself, that I can be, you know, counted, that I can add something to the team. I remember I scored the second goal, or the first, if I'm not mistaken. So I think I waited for my time, being patient enough, worked very hard. And then when the opportunity comes, I grabbed the opportunity. And after that game, I remember the next week we are going to play in Cote d'Ivoire, of the World Cup qualifying, and then the professionals, they start, you know, they start coming in. Keshi came in, and everybody. I remember we were standing outside in the morning, around before we go for our training, around 8 o'clock. And then he was asking questions, and he said, "Who is this Amunike I'm hearing about?" And then I was standing close to him. I said to him, "Skipo." Then he looked at me and said, "And I saw you small." I said, "Yeah, I'm small, but when I have the ball, don't rush me." He laughed, and we all laughed. So the next hours, we went for training. And then Ruben Agbola was playing at the right fullback, and I was playing against Ruben Agbola. So there was a ball they gave to me. You know, I just chased the ball, and then I bring the ball down. And Keshi was there, you know, he likes to come out. He said, "Get on him, push, push, push." So before two of them could know, I have passed and shoot the ball. Then he turned around and he said, "Is that how fast you are?" And then I said to him, "I told you, when I have the ball, don't rush me." So that was how, you know, the environment became friendly. Everybody, you can talk to the senior players can talk to you, but with respect. So it make it much easier for us. And when we went to play in Cote d'Ivoire, you know, I was able to distinguish myself. That was how I started coming into the team gradually. Some occasions also, I have been on the bench. But the important thing is, now I have been able to convince the coaches that I can add something to the team.
Right. What was your impression of Clement Westhoff, I mean, at the time when you joined? Clement Westhoff, and I think he's very consistent at the time, Bonfred Joe, you know, coaching the Super Eagles. What impression did they made on you on joining the national team?
Well, I think the impression is that during the era of Westhoff, as long as you're a good player, you will have your opportunity to the national team. We shouldn't forget that during his time, a lot of players were invited professionally and locally. When you look at that team, even most players that eventually went outside to play, they all came from the local club. Westhoff, you know, was able to create that opportunity for for Nigerian players, and as long as you work very hard, because I think that has been one of his, you know, his principle, hard work. If you are a hardworking player, you have no doubt that you will make the team. And I think that really helped that team, you know, for us to succeed. Everybody realized nobody cares which club you play, nobody cares who you are, where you're from. The moment we're on the pitch, you know, we are like brothers, we fight for each other, we try to achieve success. So there's this confidence in us that no matter how tough the game is, we're going to win because everybody is working very hard. And I think that really helped, you know, establish that team, that if you don't work hard, you will not play, no matter how good you are, no matter how you control the ball. But if you work very hard, you are the type of player that mark, you are the type of player that fight. And I think that will really, you know, pave the way, give you the opportunity to establish yourself in the team. And we really thank him, you know. He exposed Nigerian football. He made most of us to believe that success is achievable. And I'm happy, you know, I was able to be part of that team.
Right. Talking about Spygos, you now became an integral part of Sega Eagles. I mean, a lot of us were surprised when during the African Cup of Nations in 1994, rather, you didn't play any of the games until the finals. Everybody was surprised. We just didn't know what happened. Why was Amuneke on the pitch? All of a sudden, you came on in the finals and it was 2 goals. I mean, how were you feeling while you were on the bench throughout this period?
Well, the truth is that because we all want to play, you know, in such a major tournament, every player wants to play. But the truth also, you know, need to be said in terms of the team. We have a lot of good and talented players. The ones that are on the bench, the ones that are playing, it does not mean that they are better than the ones that are not playing. But unfortunately, in a football game, it's only 11 you need to start. And you start players according to, you know, to the tactical strategies that you're coming on board upon, or in terms of the opponent that you are going to confront. You look at the players that can fit into the system. That team was, you know, was great individually and collectively. And for me not to be playing, of course, I wanted to play. And I could remember the closest I could get was against Aye then in the quarterfinal. I was warming up, and then at the end of the day, I was not able to be introduced into the game. But I remain focused. You know, I have always said it, when you are not playing, does not mean that you will not play. All you need to do is to remain focused. All you need to do is to continue to work hard. I remember those of us that are not, you know, having regular game, we normally do extra training. We'll be, you know, Bonfrey will be drilling us, you know, trying to put us on the same level. Yeah, probably at then we'll be, you'll be complaining, you'll be groaning, you'll be, it's training. But at the end of the day, you know, when I was given the opportunity, I never expected it, to be very honest to you. I never expected to play in the final because I did not play any game, not even come in or came in as a substitute. But at the end of the day, you know, this is me starting the game. Also, it's a responsibility. It's a conviction. It's a kind of believing in yourself and then contributing to the success of your team. And I think that is exactly what I did in that tournament. I was given the opportunity, I was able to, you know, contribute my part and help the team for us to achieve the objective. And that afforded me also the opportunity now to be in the World Cup and then begin to start in the team. So I think everything in life, you know, one must exercise patience and remain focused.
And talking about the World Cup, how did it feel like? It was as though you came in at a time when Super Eagles was reaching a peak. and you came in about the time when Spikers qualified. How did you, were you part of the team that went to Algeria in October?
No.
I wasn't too sure. You now became more regular after the qualifiers, right? If I remember very well. So how did it feel like going to the World Cup? And in your heart of hearts, did you knew you were going to be part of that team, the final selection?
Yeah, I could say yes, except maybe injury comes. Because when you look at, how will I put it? It's not because of what I did in the AFCON. When you look at your daily performance, your consistency in what you are doing, your contribution, you could tell yourself, if you don't lay your guard off, you can make the team. So I believe I will make the team, but not believing because of what I have done in the past, because of the present team. A World Cup is totally different. Everybody have that ambition. Being Nigerian first World Cup, we all know the ambition of being part of that team. And I'm glad, I was part of that team. And I'm glad I was also to have the privilege to have played in the three games.
Talking about the team, the preparation proper before the World Cup, how did you know about your selection? It's common knowledge among players to know that, okay, wow, they're going to select the team now, the list is going to come out. How did you get to hear? Did West Ham called you into the room, or how did you get to know about your selection? And how was it like for some of your teammates that you don't make it?
Well, for our teammate that did not make it, it was a painful moment also, in as much as those of us that made the team. It was also a painful moment for us. These are people that we have all, been in the journey from day one. With any individually, collectively, everybody have contributed their part to make sure that Nigeria qualify for the next World Cup in America. And unfortunately, some are going and some are not going. So it was a very painful thing. It was a very joyful moment for those that are going. And at the same time also, you could look back and say, you could have also been in their shoe, not being in the position of going to the World Cup. So it wasn't something nice, to be very honest to you. When you have, for example, you have 30 players, and then 23 need to make the team, the other 7 need to go home. You start to think, is there no way to accommodate these guys, even if they cannot play, to accommodate them to be part of the team? Because we all, we all worked very hard to raise that team. So it wasn't a very nice team. Yeah, when Westerhof called us, everybody, is to make the team list, to inform those that are, will be part of the team and those that will not be part of the team. But for me, it wasn't a nice team. Now I'm a coach, I can really understand how painful it is to drop a player. How painful it is, because sometimes an executive decision has to be taken. It doesn't mean that those that are dropped are not good, but we need to learn from it. It's part of our job, it's part of our life, it's part of our experience.
Right. So talking about the World Cup proper, 1994 World Cup, you arrived in USA, not too many expected much. Nigeria was qualifying for the first time. The world had already seen Cameroon performed at Italia 90. So they are now aware of Africa, but Nigeria qualifying for the first time. Nobody probably went with no team, were not well known at the time. How was it like the very first game against Bulgaria? I mean, we're playing against players like Christo Stoichkov, Kazmir Balakov, Yordan Lechkov, Emil Kostadinov. These are experienced players. They've played at top level. How was it like? Most of you guys were not known, let me put it that way. But collectively as a team, you were very formidable. How was it like the very first game?
Well, the very first game against against Bulgaria, we were confident. I think that's the key word. We knew we have a good team. Individually, we knew if we can defend very well, then taking our chances, at least we're going to do something meaningful in the World Cup. We told ourselves it's important we don't lose first game, because in this kind of tournament, when you lose your first game, then it became a very big headache. You're approaching your second game in a confused manner. Times of we want to do everything to win. We told ourselves, we work for everybody. We work for each other. We fight for each other. We were confident. We knew we're going to play among the best players that are playing at top level. But at the same time also, we knew we have some good players. If we can keep it clean, we can, do our job at the end of the day, we're going to come out victorious in this game. And that's exactly what we did. You could see Finidi from the right side is running. You could see Omokachi. You could see Yekini. You could see I myself from the left. The moment we are, defending aspect requires of us, we are coming back to defend. The moment we are attacking, we are running with speed. So the determination and the zeal was there. And winning that first game against Bulgaria, I think that really gave us a whole lot of confidence, moving to the game against Argentina. But unfortunately, we fell into some naiveness of of inexperience, and we lost that game 2-1. And then the game against Greece, we knew we have to, we have to give it all to secure our continuity in the tournament. And that's exactly what we did. Nobody expected us to put up the performance that that people saw in the World Cup. First, it was our first World Cup. Secondly, Nigeria, we don't have big names. Probably only some of our players that are playing in Europe, like Keshi, that is playing in Belgium, maybe Okocha, that is an Omokachi in Belgium, and Okocha in Germany. The rest of us are in Nigeria or Africa, Spain. And so nobody actually, gave us that belief. But like I said, in football now, football like is evolving a lot. And it all depends on our capacity to evolve with the game, to adjust. And, we were able to do the best we can in that World Cup. And I'm grateful and I'm happy that I'm part of that journey.
Quite unfortunately, you lost to Italy. And one thing I noticed in that game was two of our most influential players got taken out, either by injury, yourself and Omokachi. And it was a bit different, and you had scored a goal in a game against Italy. How did you talk us about that Pala game? And I'll tell you, for a very long time, that game still haunts me personally. I was like, that was our opportunity to have progressed furthest. Because the team that we beat in the first round went all the way to the semifinals.
The semifinal. Well, that game, how would I classify the game? I could say, I think, in that game, we lack experience, you and I know now in modern football, that's what we call game management. We were not in a position to manage that game to our advantage. When you look at, we have scored in the first half, and then we have moved the game to 80-something minutes, and then we lost. It's very, very painful because, the tricks of the games, we were not exposed to it. Could tell you if the Italians were the one leading us 1-0, it would be very difficult for we to come back and win that game, because they will do all kind of tricks of the game. They will manage the game from delaying tactics to all aspects of tactics to win the game. But we're not in a position. We are naive in that, and this is where experience comes in. This is our first World Cup. We were happy that we are leading. we try to play to the gallery of the crowd, and at the end of the day, you know, we fell for the trap. And me going out, or Omokachi going out, you know, of course, our going out, we have fed the team one way or the other. But like I said, you know, that team, we have great players that can continue from where I stop or from where Omokachi stop. But the general issue is that, you know, we lack experience to manage the game to our advantage, and we pay costly for that. Had it been we, you know, we went through in that game, the confidence would have been high, and probably I think we'll be meeting Spain in the next round. So the confidence would be high, but you know, we blew it away, and all what we can say is, you know, we learn from it. When people talk about experience, you know, you gain experience through what you are doing, you gain experience through the mistakes and the good thing that you are doing. And I think in that game, you know, we are naive and we are not matured enough to manage the game.
Right. The next talking point of your career, because obviously that was the only World Cup you played, the only World Cup you played, but you were part of the Nigerian football team, the under-23 team that played at Atlanta 1996. I think you played, you're part of the one of the overaged players. I think they were allowed three of the players, and you're one of the
I think I myself, Omokachi and
Uche.
And Uche.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Talk us through that competition. I mean, it's not just, it wasn't just football, it was Olympics. Did you feel part of that Olympic experience? Because generally, as a person, I feel that football teams are really alienated from the Olympic experience because they play in different cities compared to the Olympic city itself. How was it like playing for the Nigerian team at the 1996 Olympic, and more so winning gold medal? Nobody expected us to win even any medal, let alone the gold. Talk us through that period, that Olympics team, the football Olympic, the dream team, they were called at the time.
Well, the Olympic team, most of us also from the World Cup team, you know.
Yeah.
we were in that Olympic team.
Yeah.
Sondolise,
Okocha,
Uche Okechukwu, Okocha, I myself, Victor Kweba,
JJ.
AJ, yeah. So we were in that, you know, in the World Cup, and then we have the privilege again to represent Nigeria in the Olympics. It was a nice experience. Although we left from Nigeria together as a team, of course, we had our own challenges as a team in terms of preparation and in terms of moving from state to state. You know how big is America. So you are moving sometimes from one state to another. Sometimes you go through by road, sometimes you go by air, and then, but the good thing is that that team, we have confidence in ourselves, you know. After being together with the new ones like Kano, Taribo West, Mobi Okparako, Celestine Babayaro, all these players, so we have confidence in ourselves, and we told us one thing about that team is we can disagree and we can also make up. That's the good thing. There's this respect in the team. We can disagree. Just within seconds, we disagree. Then within the next minute, we agree. Then it's okay, this way. And there's mutual respect within the team. We respect ourselves. It doesn't matter which club you play. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. So when we went into that tournament, you know, we knew if we do the needful by playing as a team, not individual, because the problem of African team has always been, you know, consistently we depend on individual player, and when these individual players are not functioning, then the team automatically crumbles. So we say, okay, let everybody, you know, let's keep our ego aside. We all know, okay, you are playing here, you are playing there, you are big boys, you are this. Let's keep our ego aside, let's play as a team. And that really helped us. Sometimes we disagree with the coach. We are not disagreeing with him because we disrespect him. No, we are bringing opinion also. Say this way, like this. We say, coach, don't you think this, like this? So it's a kind of sharing information within the players. And at the end of the day, you know, we were able. I remember the last game we played against Brazil. That was in, if I'm not mistaken, in Florida or in Miami, the group stage game where we lost 1-0, you know. And then when we have the opportunity to play them again in the semi-final, we told ourselves, they defeated us, but not really they defeated us, that they outplayed us. We did some silly defensive mistake and then they capitalized on that. So we told ourselves, guys, let's put everything, let's give everything. And even when we were losing, I remember we were losing 3-1 in the first half. We went into the dressing room and then the coach said he's going to make some introduction. I was one of the players that he removed and then he brought in Ipeba. So nobody complained, nobody was grumbling, because we knew we need to turn this around. And at the end of the day, you know, we were able to turn it around by beating Brazil. Then going to the final is, it's a one shot game, you have to take it. There is no two ways about the final. Nobody expected us to be in the final. Guys, we are here in the final. Let us give it all. Let's give everything we have. I remember he came to me and he said, people were complaining that you are not at your best moment, that he should not start me. Then I said to him, I said, coach, I said, we are in the final. Start whomever you think that is going to help the team. If it requires me to be on the bench, I will be on the bench. But when you need me, I will be available for the game. That was how I started on the bench. And then as the game goes on, he said, go and warm up. And then I stood up, I warmed up, he brought me in. At the end, we won the Olympics. So, you know, it's all about understanding. It's all about togetherness. That team, you know, we were together as a team. We have now, after the World Cup, some of us now, we have that experience. We're not going to do the same mistake we did against Italy. So each game, you know, from holistical point of view, we approach each game from holistical point of view by, you know, even questioning ourselves. You as a player, individual, sometimes when you go to your room, you question yourself, you ask yourself, am I giving enough to the team? Can I give more to the team? So there was no, you know, there was no this kind of selfishness where you think, no, me. You know, we all think collectively, and that was how we won that Olympic.
Great. And of course, do you still have your Olympic medal to date?
Unfortunately, mine was stolen.
Oh, wow.
I lost mine. Unfortunately, mine was stolen at my home in Lagos.
Wow.
So I don't have a copy of it.
Okay, so again, I would like to talk about your career in Spain. You played in Barcelona. Now, that was an era that you had the best. I think you played, I think you were there when Ronaldo was there, the old Ronaldo.
Yeah, Ronaldo, yeah.
Yeah, and Luis Enrique, you played with the likes of Abelardo, the likes of
Abelardo, Guardiola.
Guardiola, and that was him. That was
Luis.
Stoichkov as well at the time.
Stoichkov, Luis Figo, Popescu.
Popescu, how was it like playing among those top stars? Even though your time in Barcelona was blighted with a lot of injuries at the time, which sort of limited, but you did play. I think before you went to Barcelona, you were in Sporting Lisbon.
And, yeah.
And that was under Coach Bobby Robson, if I'm right?
No, Bobby Robson was with Porto.
Yeah, Porto. You were in Sporting Lisbon.
I was with Carlos Queiroz.
Carlos Queiroz, that's Carlos Queiroz, that's a, he became the Manchester United assistant coach after a while.
Yeah.
So, talk us through your time in Sporting Lisbon into Barcelona.
Well, my time in Sporting Lisbon was great, you know. Automatically, I left Egypt and I moved to Portugal. More tougher league, much higher standard, much demand. Then I was able, I could remember when I came to Sporting Lisbon, I was not able to play for the next 4 months because of my team in Egypt. They were having some misunderstanding with Duisburg.
Duisburg,
they approached me when we were preparing for the World Cup in Holland. We went to play against them. After the game, they came to our hotel. They said they wanted to sign me. Then I told them, okay, but I have a contract. Then they went straight to Egypt. Unfortunately, they got to Egypt. They got an agreement. Can you hear me?
Yes, I
sorry.
Can
hear you. Yeah, call came in. Sorry. Unfortunately, yeah. They got to to Cairo. They had an agreement, and after the tournament, that Sporting came. That's after the World Cup. Sporting came that they want to sign me, and then they had an agreement. So at the end, I was not able to play when I went to Sporting because they have to settle the agreement. But when they resolved the issue, Keroj believed in me, and he was the one instrumentally that he wanted me to come after they woke up, because he saw me play. He believed I can help the team. And I was able to adapt, get in there. I met Balakov, met Luis Figo, I met other players also. Nuruddin Nebet from Morocco was in that team. So we were able to play and adapt to the team before then Barcelona came knocking that they want me to be with them, because Robson have seen me play. And he was now then moving to Barcelona, and I have played against his team, Oporto, a lot of games, and he believed that it's a big opportunity for me as a player, and I have what it takes to play in Barcelona. Yeah, but unfortunately, going to Barcelona, it was great. The players, they welcomed me. There was never a moment I felt like I'm a stranger. Like when you go to somewhere new, you need time. The moment I arrived there, it's like I've been there for a very long time. I have a very good relationship with them. And they're probably Luis Figo, who was my teammate that went ahead of me. I've already made the way much easier for me. So they welcomed me, they accepted me as one of them. But unfortunately, the injury, I could not be able to give the best out of me. I was not able to do. But of course, injury is part of our life. It's part of the game. And, nobody prays should have it. But when it comes, it's all about being a man and accepting it, and then trying to be at the best.
And of course, that affected your invitation to Super Eagles. I think your last the last time you appeared in Super Eagles was in Nigeria 2000, when we hosted the African Cup of Nations with Ghana. We co-hosted with Ghana, and that was the last time you appeared with the show.
No, that was not the last time I played for Nigeria. Was a qualifying game against Zambia in Lagos.
Okay.
After the Nations Cup, there was a game against Zambia, but unfortunately, I tore my tendon Achilles. So that was my last game for Nigeria. But we have done what we're supposed to do. We have tried our best, and when you look at it, you say also it's time, to challenge your thinking to other things. So that was my last game, but it's unfortunate. But in football, the injury part, there's nothing you can do about it when it comes to you.
Well, then of course, talking about your coaching career, which I think, in my opinion, to some degree, you've achieved some huge degree of success. How did you decide to take on or to go into coaching? you went, you pursued your UEFA up to the pro level, I believe, and of course, you got in coach. How did you decide that you're going to go into coaching?
Well, it's not an easy decision, you know, because one thing in life is being honest and realistic to yourself. The first thing I told myself, if I want to coach, I don't want to go to Nigeria Sex International and start coaching. That was the first thing I told myself. And then the second one was, do I have the temperament to be a coach? A lot of people, they look coaching, when you look at the money, everybody wants to coach. But sometimes it's not the money. Do you have what it takes to be a coach? Do you have the temperament? Do you have the capacity to be a coach? What level do you want to coach? What category are you going to coach? So all these things are questions that individually you need to ask yourself and have it clear in mind what you want to do. And, I remember it took me almost two, three weeks to decide. Because as a player, what can you do after playing? What else do you want to do? Normally, the easiest way is coaching, because this is what we knew all our life, football. So we might not be playing, but we are related to the coaching aspect. So I wanted to come to England for the coaching course. You know, I started to make inquiry and I made a lot of calls to the English FA, and they told me, okay, this is what it takes for the first level. You know, here we have what we call first level, second level, and third level. The first level is kind of introduction to coaching, and it only permits you to deal with young players from the age of 6. And then the second level is a kind of semi-professional, but you cannot coach. Then the third level affords you to coach all categories. So I was about, you know, going to England, and suddenly I met a friend of mine and he said, they are going to do a course, a coaching course here. Luckily for me, the course is first category, you know. Then I went to the federation to make inquiry, to ask what and what it requires to be part of the coaching listing. And then they asked me to bring my coaching, my certificate, how many years have I been playing as a professional. So at the end of the day, you know, I brought all those things, and then we start the course. The first level, normally due to most of the coaches then, you know, they are working. So it's permitted 3 times in a week, but most of the courses, you know, the classes starts from 7 o'clock in the evening to 10 o'clock. So that was how I did the first level. Luckily for me, you know, the next year they brought out the second level again. And then I just said, let me just do everything. And luckily the third level came up. I said, let me just, you know, because I knew if I stop, I might not have that zeal to come back again to say I want to start to go back to class and study. So I just take the opportunity and, you know, I did everything. And after doing, I was lucky. I don't know if you could summarize, was with Mourinho, I think in Chelsea and Inter. You know, he was coaching in Saudi Arabia, in Al Hazm. Then he just gave me the opportunity to be his assistant. So I was with him in Saudi Arabia. Eventually then I left. After the first season, then I left. I came back to Spain. And, from there, I moved to Nigeria to exploit the Nigerian terrain. I went to my former club, unfortunately. Things were not going well for them, which is Jinos Vega then. The chairman said I should help them. I said, okay, let me help you people. So I was there half season with them. Then I moved to Ocean Boys, and after that, you know, I left Ocean Boys and I started you know, to coach, to be a coach in Africa is not easy. So to be a coach, 2012, then the national team under 17 came. They said we should come for interview. I went from Spain. Then at the end, they said I should assist man. But we did the best we can at that time. And then we won the tournament. 2014, they said I should take over as the chief coach. And then I took over to defend the cup. So I've been doing the best I can. We know the ambition of training in Europe. But you and I know in Europe, it's not an easy things. And I have, you know, I have said it always. It's not because they are discriminating against us, you know. It's just because first they will develop their people. And if we can have that capacity to develop our people. Today we talk about the European coaches. When they started, it wasn't smooth also. They have to go through process of transition, through process of transformation, through process of learning. And today, you know, they are the top coaches. So if we also in Africa can do the same, encourage our coaches. But unfortunately in Africa, we don't have patience. You know, we only want results. But results cannot come just by merely 2-3 matches. It's a long process.
Talking about your exploit as a coach, you defend, like you said, you were able to defend the under-17 World Cup. And your tactics in that particular competition was something that caught the attention of the technical committee, study group for that competition, you know, which it caught my attention as well too. And that team has produced Victor Osimhen, who is playing in Napoli today. So I mean, we can say that the development of that player probably was your brainchild. Talk us through, tell us about what do you think about Victor Osimhen, even though in recent time he struggled with injuries and he just has his first full start last Saturday when they played against Juventus. What do you think about that boy? Quite a number of people believe that he has all it takes to go to the very top.
Well, Victor, there is no doubt about Victor quality as a player. And there is no doubt about his desire to succeed. I think that is what single-handed, you know, make him special. He has this desire. And probably also when you look at his background, where he, you know, he came from, you could realize his attitude towards to what he does. He's a very good player. And the one thing, when you look, it's very difficult for you to see a tall player with the height he possesses, and he's quick, and he combined both with the his technical ability is not bad. He's good with the ball. You expect such a player sometimes they are only good on the air, but you know, you're talking about a player. Technically, he's good. Speed-wise, he's good. Hunger-wise, he's good. He has the desire. He wants to succeed. For him, it's like he wants to eat the whole world. And where he is today, I don't have that about him. The only area I always emphasize with these boys is the discipline aspect. I think that is very, very important. The people that associate with you is very, very key. People don't only associate with you because you are famous. I have always said, if my friends, if they cannot tell me when I'm wrong, then they are not my friend. You must have the capacity to tell your friend, hey, guy, this thing is not. Or your friend tell you, hey, guy, this way is not. That is when you say, this guy is my friend. Because you cannot see everything. And when you are famous, of course, everybody treats you like you are this, with respect. But what people can tell you. So my aspect, you know, my desire for them is the discipline. Those players, I knew what they went through. Unfortunately, you know, in Nigeria, we have to go through this way where people think these players are not our player. These players are our player. So I think it's very, very unfortunate. But those of us that have played the game, those of us today we are living, those of us that Nigerians look onto, people like us, Nigerian, expecting to tell truth. What do we own Nigerians? It's truth. What do we own our young player? It's truth. There's nothing else we own anybody than truth. Truth, people don't want to hear the truth. So my prayer for those players is, we won the World Cup. Nobody gave us opportunity of winning the World Cup. Nobody gave us any hope of winning the World Cup. Even the players in question, people say they are not good. But I always say to them, if somebody say you are not good, did God tell you that you are not good? You see, you have to tell the person that you are not good. And how can you tell him that you are not good? By being lazy, by going the other way. If you remain focused and continue to do what you know best, time will always put you where you need to be. If somebody says, this guy is not good, you respect his opinion, but he's not your maker. So what I'm saying is that, in our country, we have good players. In our country, we have people, if we have a very solid foundation and very solid plan, we can have good players for the future. But the point is that we are not doing enough to help these players. I remember when I took these players, the first thing I told them, I said, we are going to watch a video today. You know, normally when you tell players you are going to watch a video, they are expecting to see football video. So when we get into the room, then I put a documentary of lions chasing in the forest and this. Then they look at me. They say, coach, what is this? I said, this is Nigeria. They say, which one? I said, the lion. We are Nigerian. We are giant of Africa. We are big. We are strong. But you can see the lions, they have learned to hunt in group. I said, do you know why they hunt in group? He said, no, coach. I said, because if they don't hunt in group, their chances of having food is slim. I said, lion cannot run more than 50 yards. And that's why when they are chasing an animal, they give up when the animal is there. I say, we Nigerians, we are strong. But if we don't play as a team, we have no chances of winning. I say, but don't worry about how will we get there? How will we do it? How will we bring it? So I was, we went to World Cup. We used to attend classes, I think 3-4 times. Every day, 3-4 times we attend class. After training, we attend classes. Why are we attending classes? You and I know that in Africa, most African players, tactical aspect of the game, zero.
Zero, yeah.
So we have to teach our players, when you talk about tactics, they need to know. When you talk about press, they need to know. When you talk about zonal defending, they need to know. The factors of zonal defending and the disadvantages of zonal defending. So they need to know all these things. So when you share it with them with image, sometimes you allow them to teach you. Then you go to the field, you put it in practice. So now, you see, the thinking faculty begins to change. They begin to see the game, not just based on talent. They begin to see the game from the intelligent aspect of the game. The decisions making becomes much better. That's why you see that team function the way we function. One of the problems we have in that team was defensively we are weak. But what we did was we realized that defensively we are weak. Then what we do is we do high pressure. So we don't allow the opponent to be comfortable both from defense and in the midfield. And the moment we win that ball, 2 touches, we are inside your box. So that was how that team functioned. So we try to keep it clean and tight by knowing this is what you need to do. So if those players, they are good, we agree, they are good. But if they don't have information, their thinking faculty about the game will be slim. Decisions making will be slim. When you get the ball, you don't know where to go, when to go, whom to pass to. So decisions making. So these are the areas, you know, we need to involve more to help our young players. And that is why this Osime, Chukwueze, all these players you are seeing, is because they were able to feed. They already knew this is what is going to be expected from them. Because I always tell them, this, as a player, if you're a midfielder, no matter how good you are, if you don't know how to mark, and you have a player that technically he's not better than you, but his working rate is high, coach, we play him. Because the important moment in football is two. When you have the ball, when you don't have the ball. So when you have the ball, how are you people getting to the opponent goalpost to score? Because the objective is to score. Mm. And when you don't have the ball, how are you preventing the opponent and not to reach to your own goalpost and score you? Mm-hmm. So these are things, you know, when we develop our players in a way, then we can say we are going to the World Cup. No, because you don't need to tell a player once you lose the ball, you are shouting, come back and defend. He already knows that the moment he loses the ball, either you press the man close to the man that with the ball, you press him. You are not pressing him to win the ball, but at least you make him not to be comfortable. While the other people are regrouping, organizing, picking the players without the ball. Because the players without the ball are more dangerous than the one with the ball. So when the players have these pictures clear, from defensive aspect to the offensive aspect, then the decisions making becomes much better. And that's why you see this Osimhen, these players, you know, today people say, they are growing. It's not that because also the past ones, they are not good. But I think the game is changing and we have to see how we can adapt our players to the changes of the game.
And bless you. We cannot ignore your success at Tanzania. Now, before you took over Tanzania, and you did something which I admired. You took along Emeka Amadi as your goalkeeper trainer, which is the trend in modern day football, where you go with your own coaching team, you know, and I quite admire that about you. Before you took over Tanzania, they had not qualified for any major tournament since 1980. That was when Nigeria hosted it at the time. So talk us through your success in Tanzania. Nobody saw your achievement coming.
Well, in Tanzania, like I told you earlier, it's all about being honest. It's all about making people to believe that they can achieve something. And that is exactly what we did in Tanzania. We shouldn't forget that Tanzania, over the years, 39 years, they have had various coaches that have coached their team locally, internationally, and everybody, you know, does things differently to achieve the objective. I think what I did mostly was, and I always say I thank the players, you know, and I thank the captain, Samata. He was able, you know, he brought in as a leader, and the other players, they look onto him. He's been honest. You know, I was so honest to them, and and I always said something to them. I'm a brother. I'm a black brother like you. I play the game to the highest level. And I stand in a position to tell you the truth. And if I cannot tell you the truth, I can be your coach. I'm your coach. But you're a brother. Your success is my success. And, what we did was actually we analyzed ourselves from a holistic point of view. I was privileged to have gotten some of their previous matches. They have been playing, and we look at it from a holistic point of view. With the players, not with the backroom staff, with the players, we sat, we put, and I say, guys, forget about the mistakes. we can laugh because, yeah, we are permitted to make mistakes. We can laugh, we can joke, we can say, ah, see what this guy do. We are not criticizing anybody. We are criticizing ourselves. Why are we criticizing ourselves? Because we're telling ourselves we can do more. We can do more. So look at defensively all our mistakes. Look at the goals we concede, cheap goals, because of wrong decisions. Look at the way when one opponent have the ball, five people, we are looking only the ball. We forget that the man that is running is more dangerous, and then we put the ball. So we have seen this. Let's come up with plans how we can improve. We are not saying that they are not going to stop us, score us, but at least let's work in a place where we don't take 7-0, 5-0 anymore. So this is what we did. And the players, you know, they were open. They were hungry. I told them, you know, the people say 37 years, 39 years, you have never qualified. You can be the first to change the history. And it's possible. When I came, I came there, they have only 1 point. And the next game was against Uganda. I'm somebody, you know, I don't believe in taking people away. I give people opportunity. This is my philosophy as a coach. I don't come into a place and I say, okay, yeah, this player, no. When I came, I had a discussion with the general secretary, whom is my brother and my friend, that made it possible for me to come there also. I had a discussion with him. I said, we're not going to drop these players. Since these players has been here, let us see them. I would like to see them and see what they can offer to the team. And our game against Uganda in Kampala, we had a game, you know. Normally in Tanzania, I think the two big teams is Simba and Yanga. And this is where they draw their team mostly from, except the ones playing outside. So I said, okay, how many players are from Simba? How many from Yanga? I think from Simba, then we have about 7 players. And then from Yanga, we have about 5 players. Then with the professionals and other players from Azam. So when we went to camp, 2, 3, 4 days, these players, they don't show up. We have game on Saturday in Kampala, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the players, they don't show up. So I went on air and I told them, I said, those players from Simba and Yan, they are not part of the team. So everybody were kind of, coach, this coach is mad. What is he doing? Such a thing has never happened before. And I said, listen, national team, we all played in the national team. National team is a pride to every player. National team is a pride for the country. Out of 55 million, and you are privileged to be invited, you should be happy. But for we to be waiting players to say when to come, when not to come, it's not possible. Things cannot go that way. Except we want to tell ourselves, okay, we are happy the way we are doing it. So those boys, we dropped them. Then we went on air, and then we bring in new players totally. I've never had opportunity before to come to the national team. We brought them in. Then we walked. We went to Kampala. We played draw. We came back. Everybody, it's possible. I say it's possible, but for things to happen, there has to be discipline. Without discipline, without commitment, without desire, you have no chance of succeeding. You can be a good player, but if you don't have the desire, if you are not disciplined, you are wasting of time. So we were able to turn things around. And then people say, is those players still part of your team? I say, yes, they're part of the team. We drop them now does not mean they are not part of the team. They will be part of the team. But it's for us to know that if we don't put discipline in whatever we are doing, we're never going to succeed. And then we start working gradually. Nobody believes. Yeah, we always have challenges. The media, because suddenly the way things used to go before is no longer the way it's going. And then I told them the national team is for the whole Tanzania. And I maintain it because Tanzanian on the national team, which means wherever you see a good player, he has the right to be invited. Then we start inviting players from other clubs. People will disagree, which is respected. But you, the coach, you know what you want in the team. And gradually, we were able to qualify collectively with Tanzanian people, with the federation, with the players, with the coaches. The dreams that everybody was dreaming, at the end of the day, came to be. We qualified. And we made it to Egypt. And we went to Egypt. Of course, we had our own challenges also. In Egypt, we have our own challenges in the tournament. But for me, which I don't want to go into details and start talking about, but the reality is that we made it to Egypt. And unfortunately, we are not able to, you know, to win any of our games, which is normal. But the reality is that it's up to them now, you know, to build on what we have achieved previously, on what the country have achieved by, you know, going to the 2019 AFCON in Egypt. So that is my prayer for them. But, you know, we thank God for the opportunity, and I thank them also for giving me the opportunity, for believing that I can coach their national team. It's not an easy journey, but we thank them.
Talking about what you did, my opinion, the game at the African Cup of Nations in 2019, the game between Kenya and Tanzania was one of the most explosive games of that competition, and that was a very good game, I must say. Now, what do you think? I mean, this is not even about what do you think. What are your aspirations? Do you hope to coach the Super Eagles of Nigeria someday, if the opportunity is afforded you? Because I personally think or believe that you are capable. If you can take a Tanzanian team that are kind of, with all respect, limited in talent, if you can take them to that height, I'm sure you'll be able to do better with Super Eagles, with the abundance of talent that we have at our disposal at the moment. So, do you hope to coach the Super Eagles someday if the opportunity is provided you?
Well, the Super Eagles, of course, I'm a Nigerian and I'm a coach, and I would love to have the opportunity to coach my national team and to add value to it. But my philosophy is always, you know, allow things to happen at the right time. You know, that is my philosophy. I know everybody wants to coach his country, national team. And also, not only just things to happen at the right time, also to be in a position when the time comes. You and I know that football now is no longer just about assembling the players and training, because the players also, they want you to resolve their doubts they have in the game. They want you to, you know, to prepare them, apart from the practical aspect, from information aspect, which is key into the game in modern football now. So I have always emphasized, if it please God, and when the time comes, yeah, we'll be available to coach Nigeria, and we pray to be in a position to use it to inspire our country, to inspire our football. We have played, and having the doubt of what the demand in the Super Eagles, what people want, I think we know what people want. Nigeria national team, I have always said it to the player, Nigerians know, even if we lose a game, but if we put all we have in the game, Nigerians, we always forgive you. Nigerian, we always know, no, these guys, they gave everything. One thing we cannot permit when it comes to our football is we involve more on jamborees at the main game. I have always, in fact, there must be line of duties in the national team. There must be discipline. There must be one thing. It's not just about that we are playing, okay? Yeah. There must be a desire. People wants to win. People wants to go far. What does it take to win? How do we get to this winning path? How do we get to the journey? How do we get to the destiny that we have planned? It all takes process with the national team. What kind of players are you bringing in? It's not just about where he plays and how talented he is. So there is a whole factors, you know, you have to analyze. And then with your team, not only with your team, with the players, because the only way you can get the best from the players is by sharing information with them, by rubbing mind with them, by letting them know what is being expected from them. And when we start thinking that direction, when we start, you know, creating that opportunity, I have always emphasized, you said something now that we have young players. Yeah, it's good we have young players, but how can we now make the best out of these young players? The only way now we can make the best out of these our young players is by involving them into the national team. They might not be playing regularly, they might not be the key player, but we are developing them. We are preparing them for future challenges. We are exposing them. We are educating them. We are making them to realize when they, you know, when they take over, what is being expected from them. So we cannot build a team just based on we are young, we are talented. All over the world now, many teams are young. People are playing young players, but what matters is what can we bring on board? And, you know, we have a coach. Sometimes people say, no, we have a coach now that we, Nigerians, we employ. We gave him the opportunity. So we must also, we Nigerians, we must support him. Because we shouldn't forget that if he succeeded, it's our success. If we win the Nations Cup tomorrow, we also, he's part of us. So, you know, the issue of super egos, I prefer just to be quiet. I prefer to continue to do the best I can. And when the time comes, like I said, you know, we'll be in a position, not just coaching the super egos, and it's to add values.
Wow. It's been very, very inspiring. It's been very, very wonderful time speaking to you, drawing from the past moment and into the future. And all I can say is that I personally, like I said, I want to see you coach the national team one day. That's my personal desire, because I believe you are a very good coach. But obviously, until when the opportunity provides itself, we just have to wait. And I just want to thank you for affording us the opportunity to speak to you. It's hugely appreciated. And I wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the call. Thank you for your time. And well, stay safe.
And you
difficult
too.
Time. Stay safe, and God bless you, my brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you very much.